does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy happy.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to The Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and by my side is my co-host, Nate Gorzinski, and we got a great one planned for you today, where we're going to talk a little bit about love, some regurgitation, and jackassery. But as I just mentioned, I got this dude right over here, so without further ado, Nate, say hello to the fine folks that have tuned into our humble little program.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nate.
Yeah, you are.
I am. But I just want to pre-apologize for if my voice goes to rags while we're talking, because I've had this weird laryngitis for the last week. And it's not COVID, but it is just like a little head coldy thing where, I don't know, it's made talking really difficult. So I just want to apologize in advance if I sound like Demi Moore after a carton of cigarettes.
Oh.
How are you, Dave?
I'm good. You're a trooper, though. And I've always had an issue with the pre-apology. Shouldn't you wait until your voice actually does something annoying or, you know, causes some interference in our conversation before you say, oh, hey, everybody. Sorry about that.
Is that like it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission? Or it's easier?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, when you initially texted me to inform me of your ailment, I asked if you sounded like the dude from the brother from Mrs. Doubtfire.
And Harvey Fierstein.
You came quick with that name. You were like, Harvey Fierstein, man. I'm like, yeah, Independence Day and the soap, the movie Soap, which is doesn't get brought up very often, but I enjoyed very much way back when.
Do you mean soap dish?
Soap dish, yes. Dude, I'm so cool with it, I don't even say dish. I don't need to say dish. I'm OG.
You're in the know, you say soap.
Yeah, soap. Actually, wasn't soap the sitcom? Yeah, with Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal.
See, I get it, but it was, I don't know. I'm still awesome.
Yeah. Don't Billy Crystal was
dent my cred.
He was breaking down barriers back then, playing a gay character, openly gay character on TV back in the, whatever that was, 70s, 80s?
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah, indeedy. Right. And City Slickers, for the record, was actually a very good film. I don't care what anybody says.
I agree.
City Slickers was very funny. And funny enough, I had watched it recently, and I was terrified, scared to my core. Because I have reached an age older than what Mitch was, the character that Billy Crystal played in that movie, when he was having his midlife crisis.
Oh, man.
Oh, the horrors of breathing.
Yeah. I think we mentioned last week, I was talking about how I think I might be in the middle of a midlife crisis, but, you know, but neither of us are buying sports cars or whatever else you do.
Yeah.
Having sex with your secretary.
Well, I was going to say just with young women.
Yeah,
well, we ain't got that game anymore. But, it's interesting that you bring up having sex, because sex is often and should be associated with something that we like to call love. Hmm. That's right, love. And we are in the month of February, the Feb, which is often associated with the holiday, the capitalist, freaking humdinger known as Valentine's Day.
Wow, Dave. Wouldn't you say that February is associated with Black History Month, racist?
Who. Oh, you got
cancel
me.
Cancel him.
You got me. No, I mean, Black History Month. And I know a lot of people, it's the shortest month of the year. And they are right. I mean, shouldn't all year long be everything that we celebrate, really? Dedicate our whole essence into celebrating all this stuff. But, back to Valentine's Day real quick. And please, no more shouting any accusations at me, please.
Okay. Cancel them. Uncancel Dave.
Uncancel Dave. Thank you very much. Love is a beautiful and wonderful thing, and it shouldn't be confined to the 14th of February, which I'm glad I got out of my mouth properly. I really thought I was going to stumble on that. It's kind of like saying Wednesday. Wednesday. It's just a spelling kind of messes me up. But recently, Nathan.
Yes.
I have been watching a show on the Hulu that is dedicated to maybe quite possibly one of the greatest love stories of all time. So for those who may not be getting my hints or are unaware of what I am talking about, it's a little show called Pam and Tommy. Yes! The glorious union of Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee and the infamous sex tape. So those sons of bitches at Hulu lured me in. Nate, have you had an opportunity to watch any of this show?
Not yet, man. I know of it, of its existence, and I was very, you know, familiar with the subject matter. I actually never saw the tape, but I do remember all of it. Yeah.
I never got into that. For some reason, Pamela Anderson was never top of the pops for me.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, she's a little too, like, that stereotypical, you know, oversized, like, the American beauty sort of, like, big boobs, blonde hair. You know, I can see why people are attracted to that, but that's just not my style.
Well, here's a funny thing. She's Canadian.
Oh, shit.
So American Beauty, my sweet Bippy. Oh, boy.
North American Beauty.
There you go. She's a continental cutie pie. That's what she is. And, well, you haven't seen it, so I'm not going to give you any spoilers. But I do want to give a one-sentence review to everyone. And that is, there's some bad tattoos there, Bubba. Some really bad tattoos. Now, you would think if you'd making a biopic or biopic, how would you say that?
I say biopic.
Really? I like biopic.
I do too. I like
Sounds
the sound of it,
like
but I naturally.
Laboratory.
Yeah.
But, anyway, my point is, you know, you would try to get as accurate as humanly possible to the characters that you were studying and portraying in your film.
Yeah.
So they went out and, you know, made Sebastian Stan is the actor who plays Tommy Lee. And
hey,
they put
Bucky.
All these. Yes, Bucky. There you go. And they put
from
all
the
tattoos.
Avengers.
Yes. Where else would Bucky be from? Where would Bucky be from, Nate, huh? Clarify.
Isn't it a gas station?
It is in Texas. They're Bucky's. Yeah. Okay. With a beaver. He's playing a beaver, everybody. But the tattoos they put on him, they look like like the kinds you would get out of a gumball machine.
Oh, man.
Oh, they're glistening in the sun like they just like put it on with like a wet tissue. There's even one scene where they're getting hot and heavy and they do a close-up on his shoulder and you can see it fucking flaking off.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on with the budget on that program, but they sure as hell didn't put it in for realistic-looking fake tattoos.
It's weird, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big, you know, part of the wardrobe, I guess. Playing Tommy Lee, you got to either commit and get all those tattoos, or you got to get some convincing fake tattoos, I guess.
Yeah. No, they dropped the ball on that one big time.
Did they get Pam's boobs correct?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I mean, yet again, I'm not really intimate with them. I don't know them by memory, but they do have a nice, you know.
Nice shape, buoyancy. Shape,
yeah, buoyancy. Give them a float test. But, I mean, they seem fairly accurate here, but the tattoos were a complete and utter failure on every level. Someone should be fired.
Damn,
okay.
Man.
And then Sebastian Stan, when he plays Tommy Lee, he's going to be this fucking monstrous cocksucker. But he does it, like, way over the top, which I get because we don't know celebrities, right? We're not familiar with them, but we think we know them very well from what we see in media.
Right.
So I don't know if there was any meeting with Tommy Lee to try to get his, personality ticks down or things like that. But he really just... Oh, whatever you would think Tommy Lee is, kind of this spastic wild man, this Sebastian Stan plays that, jeez, crank it up to 11.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the Motley Crue thing, was being that outrageous. And I know they talked about how being a rock star back then, like Tommy Lee was actually on Steve-O's podcast, which, you know, is interesting for this episode anyway. We'll get to that later, but Tommy Lee talked about how he got away with murder back then. Like, I don't know about literally, but he said it was the best time to be a rock star was the Motley Crue Sunset Strip sort of days that, yeah, you could be an asshole and destroy everything around you, and it was just kind of expected, and you had people to clean up after you. So I do understand if Sebastian Stan is playing, he's got to play a crazy, outrageous dude who,
right,
you know, is off the chain. So, yeah. But I haven't seen it. So.
I recommend checking it out. It's not the best thing I've ever watched, but yet again, I was in the mood for love. And, you know, it had a little romance going on. Well, romance is a fine, or not the best example, rather, to put for that whole thing. I don't know how accurate the story is either. They embellish things for TV.
Of course.
Even when you're talking celebrities' lives and everything else. So I don't know. They play it off like it's a whirlwind romance. Within a matter of days, they're married. That could be true. I didn't bother to Google it after.
It might be. But did they have a Kid Rock show up in the movie? Is that a spoiler alert? A Kid Rock show up in the movie?
Okay. Like, did he just pop up and he's like, hey, my name is Kid? And everybody's like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, basically.
They had Kid-like-esque characters in there. I don't think any of them is necessarily Kid Rock, you know, members of his ensemble.
Well, I just meant because Kid Rock was with Pamela Anderson after the whole Tommy Lee thing.
Imagine that.
And they fought, you know, in public. There was like some MTV Awards or something where they actually fought in the crowd.
Wow, you should be watching this. You know more than I.
I do. I'm kind of a sucker for that sort of TMZ bullshit.
Yeah, but, I guess so. You know. I would definitely not want to date her after Tommy Lee has been all up on that. You know what I mean? That's a hard thing to live up to.
Feel a little insecure about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And for those who don't realize, I'm talking about the size of his schlong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Glad you cleared that up.
Imagine that. I mean, you don't have that problem, but for normal average people like me, you know, can you satisfy a woman after they've taken a freaking monster like that into their lives? And, I don't know. You better have some tricks. You better know some Kama Sutra shit to make up for that, you know?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, it's like, you know, that's like my brother living in Vail, Colorado, working on that mountain. And then he's since tried to like spend one season in Vermont, working on a mountain out there, working on Okemo. And he's gone to, you know, and he's found that because he started in Vail, all the other places he's tried to work have kind of spoiled them.
Yeah.
You know, for him. So, because everything else seems insufficient after you've been, you know, and maybe that's the same with Tommy Lee's, you know, personality.
Ding dong.
Whatever you're, that thing.
Well, I get the analogy. I think it was a weird one to make.
You know, I don't know. I make weird connections.
Yeah, I was going to say going from, you know, someone having a big old fucking ding dong banging his old lady to your brother's experiences switching jobs on a mountain, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
But
call
it is
my
rough.
Therapist.
It is rough. Yeah. And then, well, let me ask you, since we are on this topic, if you were with a woman and she was a fantastic lover, I mean, knockout, great fucking, you know, dreams are made, love making, and then you break up and you get with another girl, you like her, but she's just not quite up to par in bed. Can you overlook that? Or are you always going to be lingering and thinking about this past, you know, ooh la la.
Okay, well, I think it's different for guys too. I mean, I don't want to
double standard.
It is kind of because, like, it, you know, how do you define good in bed? You know, is it like there can be someone that's beautiful and aesthetically to like pleasing to all your specifications. You know, you're like, wow, I find that attractive. I find that attractive. Like, and then it turns out that they just lay there and kind of expect you to do all the work. And that's, so I don't know, but some people would still be like, that was a satisfying experience because I was with a beautiful person. But then sometimes you fucking get surprised. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people are just, you know, people surprise you. But as far as spoiling it for the next one, I guess I get sidetracked. I'm thinking of, you know,
real life experiences where this may have happened to you.
Thinking of political protests going on somewhere else because that's, I don't know.
What? How you are relating the weirdest things together today. I don't know what's going on with your brain. I don't know if I want to enter your mind to see how these connections are, in fact, made. This is very strange. We're talking about lovemaking, and you're like, political protests. Wait, what? Yeah.
I don't know. I just am like, my head's everywhere. So I would probably be really bad in bed right now because my
head's I guess so, man.
Elsewhere. Jeez.
I think, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Let me rescue you here.
Okay.
Put down your picket sign for a second. You're right. With men, it is different, okay, than women, I would think. And I'm just, you know, thinking, guessing, whatever here, since I am not a woman, so I can't truly speak for one.
Yeah.
But I think with men, we can compensate and say, well, all right, so they're not as freaky-deaky as I would like them to be, but maybe there's kind of some alternatives we can look into, or the fact that she's good at something else, or maybe other parts of the relationship she's very, you know, careful with or considerate about, or things like that, you know? So,
well that's different, though. That's love versus someone being satisfying in bed. I thought you were just talking about Tommy Lee ruining it sexually for
Pam. He did.
Okay. If you're talking about you being in a great relationship with someone and then all the other relationships seem kind of lackluster, that's a different thing.
Well, but, hey, I wasn't trying to completely deviate here and separate. Okay. But here's, you know,
heaven
sex,
forbid we should have a tangent.
Yeah, I know, right? But sex and love, okay, they go hand in hand, or are they different? You know what I mean? They can work in conjunction, and they can also just be completely separate things, right? You love your goddamn dog. Doesn't mean you're going to fucking, you know, do, I don't even want to go there. But you get my point. You know what I mean? So, but I'm just saying, in the cases of not being a satisfying lover, you can kind of like look for maybe even excuses or reasons why it's okay that person isn't, and I'm going to say it again, freaky deaky. Cause really, when you think about a good lover, what is it that would define a good lover? You had mentioned something aesthetic, like, oh, they're just beautiful and, you know, it's pleasing to be with someone that's symmetric. But for me, it'd be their willingness to just fucking let loose. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That absolutely, to me is a sign of a good lover. Like, oh, you want to try this? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm not going to tell you no. The answer is yes. Let's fucking do whatever the fuck you can think up. All right, let's go buck wild, have a good time. But to me, that is the fucking bee's knees, baby.
Sure. Yeah. Like, that's both, like, confidence in bed and, like, adventurousness. You know, those things are definitely important. See, now we're getting to it. What are what defines, a good lover? And again, this is just kind of staying in the bedroom right now, like what we're saying.
All right.
So, but I think that, I mean, it depends. Like, and as you get older, you want different things too. And you get maybe lazier. Some people, maybe you get, I don't know. It depends. It's easy to fall into a rut sexually with, especially someone in your own life. So it's like, it's important to keep things adventurous and important to, I feel like when you're in a long relationship, one of the good things is that you're both comfortable enough with each other where you can be like, you know, I'm not worried about what I look like right now, or I'm not, you know, so those things are very important. And that's why, love is very important for sex. And you can, they're not mutually exclusive. Like you said, it's like you can have sex and not give a shit about the person. But when you're in a relationship, it is pretty awesome. But it's easy to fall into a rut is, you know, if you got to keep things entertaining and adventurous, and you know, there's plenty of products and
options.
Services you can contact for those type of things, but you know, they have therapists for that.
Oh, true.
Where you can go and
think that's that. I don't know if I could ever do that though. I feel so weird if I had to go to a therapist to try to express to my wife that I want to, like, I don't know, fucking go knuckle deep in her butt. You know what I mean? Like, I think that'd be weird. That's the we need a mediation. We need something like that to have that discussion, you know?
Yeah.
It's either yes or no, as far as I'm concerned. If the answer is no, then guess what? We live in this glorious age where I can fucking Google knuckle deep in a butthole, watch whatever I want, fucking, and thanks to our fine partners at Spunk Lube, spank until until the fucking monkeys come home. You know what I mean? So,
That's one of the products and services I was referring to, actually.
There you go.
You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
There's plenty. So,
I promise we're going to talk about love. And here I'm talking about Pam and Tommy, a TV show, and now it goes straight to sex. We're just fucking gutter brains. That's it. We're dudes. Crack some beers, banging broads. We're dudes.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. So, but, you know, love... I don't know. I fucking hate Valentine's Day, man.
I do too, man.
Fucking hate that shit. And the thing is, like, when you've been with someone for a long time, you're always, like, trying to con them out of, like, getting into the whole spirit of it. Like, Christmas, I get, right? And I'm not even talking about the religious part of it. It's just like, well, gifts once a year to celebrate the person you love is fantastic. The people in your life, awesome. But then Valentine's is directly linked to what I started this whole rambling hoopda all about, where it's like, we should be doing this all year round. We shouldn't think, oh, well, then this fucking day is the day that I say, you know, thank you for loving me. Thank you so much, to the point where I'm going to buy overpriced chocolates, over fucking priced flowers that will die in a week.
Yeah,
and you try to trick them to make them think that it's not significant having this faux holiday.
I think it's like, you know, most of us should know that you should let your significant other know you love them throughout the year. Like, you should, it shouldn't be. I think Valentine's Day is for, if Valentine's Day is like to remind the dicks, you know, remind the jerks, like, hey. You know, tell her you love her or him, you know, whatever. It's like, doesn't matter. It's, you should be expressing that shit all the time.
Yep.
But if you're not, make sure you do on this fucking day. And, you know, and the smart ones of us know that if you're going to go out for dinner, go out the day before or the day after.
Yeah.
Don't go because you can get a table, you know.
Yeah. But it's cheaper. It's easier to book a reservation. Are you going to be doing that? Do you have any Valentine's Day plans?
Well, I'm sure we'll go out to eat. We're kind of, I don't know, we're kind of boring, but we, you know, there are gifts and things involved, but we're not like, you know, we're kind of the mind that, like, exactly, like we were talking about, holidays are kind of unnecessary, but of course we do something, you know. I don't want to go out because I don't know if she's going to listen to this before the holidays. I'm not going to go into detail, but. I'm just saying, you know, we are both kind of like, I don't know, we didn't put anything up for Christmas. I mentioned that on one of our episodes. Like, we literally didn't have a single decoration up for Christmas. We're not, you know, we're like, you know, we just enjoy life.
Yep.
The days are cool, but, you know, the holidays, but we're kind of, every day's a fucking holiday, man.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's enough of that. Let's stop talking about this crap. You know, I'm tired of it. I just love stuff. Whoop-dee-doo. Hoop-dee-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. So I'd rather shift to a new gear. And it's about something called regurgitation.
Ooh.
Yeah, and, you know, you may be asking yourself, Dave, what the fuck? Are you talking about sex now, regurgitating? Like, are you a fucking creepy-ass perv? Well, yes,
like
possibly.
A kink.
Yeah, it could be a kink. But no, this is all relating to something that I saw Nate post on the Twitter, which, you know, you rarely do.
Very rarely.
Very rarely. But you made a comment about Donald Trump had a coffee table book.
I was moved by this story that came out that our favorite president, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But keeping with his personality, intellect, all that, when it comes time for him to put out a book, like most presidents put out a memoir or something, you know, he puts out a picture book. it's a book of photos.
Right.
And he wrote snarky little captions on them where he's just, you know, calling people, this is one of Crazy Nancy about Nancy Pelosi, whatever. And
okay.
You know, I've really tried to not post political things on social media. It's gotten me so worked up. Like, I've gotten in fights with friends. I mean, I'm not the type that defriends people for that shit on, like, Facebook. I rarely use Twitter at all, but Facebook, I just stopped with all the political shit. Cause yeah, people comment back and want to argue. And then you got something to say to them and it's back and forth and nothing gets done. And you both just start getting worked up. So I'm done with it. And then I had to stop commenting on other people's shit. Cause they would post stupid shit and I'd get into a fight that way. So I ended up stopping that and I've been good. I've been really good.
Sure.
But for some reason, when I heard Trump came out with a coffee table book of pictures, and then I found out it's like the pictures that were chosen are these public domain photos of the president. Like they were, anyone can find those online. You could have compiled this book, but Trump did it and slapped his name on it. And of course they're pictures of him. I mean, that's, you know, but he took credit for it. He's charging $75 a book and fucking, it's just one more thing that he's slapped his name on.
Right.
And taking credit for it. Like all the buildings with his name on them are all, you know, whatever it is. It's like, that's how he makes his money. His name is worth money. So he feels like, you know, that's his business is being him.
But Nate, it's not only on brand for that orange bloated piece of shit. It's just like a thing that's socially acceptable now, thanks to, in fact, the social media that we use, because everything is a form of regurgitation. Nobody will ever get famous anymore based on their original content or things that they produce or make or put passion into. No, if you share something, whether it's something based on nostalgia or an accomplishment somebody else did, that's how you're going to get your likes and your retweets and your people commenting and, you know, the blood boiling down below the belt. So people engage with you. Do you know what I mean? And it's something that troubles me to no end, because I would think there'd be more reward or some kind of accolades for the person that could actually put something good out into the world and it got recognized and spread. But instead, no, we celebrate the fact that we can't come up with anything anymore. We just can't.
We're just spreading memes and other people's ideas and taking credit for them and getting into arguments about them. And oh man.
Yeah. And that's true. The thing. We just, here we go. This is something that existed before.
Right.
And I'm showing it to you again, maybe for the first time, I guess, if you're, you know, younger or what have you, or maybe you're not in the know. And for the people that do know, maybe you'll enjoy seeing this because you're familiar with it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
So yeah,
it's fucking really disturbing. And so I get it. I get why this guy would fucking do something like this. And hey, here's $75. And you it's just mentioned public domain. It's not even personal photos that no one else had access to before. It's stuff you could fucking look up on the AP.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's just a fucking quick cash grab that you didn't have to put any fucking work into. But that's the way it works now. And it's all okay. We all just say, fine, it's the way it is. That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man. I mean, Trump, not to stay on Trump, but Trump is just a product of the times. Like he may be a you know, big figurehead in it, but all the things he says are all the things they say on Fox News. Like he's not like spearheading anything. He's just, it's just regurgitating what all the things say on that. Exactly. So it's like, in a way, it's almost like we're being ruled by Rupert Murdoch when he was president, you know, like the owner of Fox News. But anyway, back away from Trump. Yes, the regurgitation. It's like even people that make all their money on, like, there's people, whole channels on YouTube of just movie reviews where it's like, yeah, it's your content. And some of them make them clever and add things to them. But really, it's you're making money off somebody else's movie, but your thoughts on it.
Right.
You know,
well, now it's not even the movie. It's a trailer. Trailer reaction. Look out.
Reactions.
Oh, God.
Holy shit.
Dude, you know, I see the NFTs are blowing up and there's fucking guys who are like, hey, look at this NFT I'm going to sell for a buttload of money. And guess what? It's a monkey, but this monkey is in a spacesuit. Oh, well, now the monkey, same monkey, but he's a fireman. Huh? You see that? Yeah. All right. Now he's a farmer. Okay.
They're all separate NFTs.
Exactly. But we're just churning out the same fucking bullshit over and over again and fucking waiting for every, all you dumbasses just to lap it up. And you know.
I don't even understand what NFTs are, are. Like, I don't even get it. Like, if an image is online, it's online.
Exactly. There you go.
So what, you can just, what, can you sue somebody if they reproduce it or something? If you own it?
Good luck with all that.
That's what I'm saying.
You own, like, that digital footprint that you, that's your art. You own it. But you don't own a physical copy of it. It's not, unless you want to print it at Kinko's or whatever. Right. But you own that digital piece of art. That is yours to do whatever you see fit. You could monetize on it if you could figure out how. Like the monkey man with his, like I said, monkeys in a different outfit. It's like Barbie. This is Malibu monkey. But yeah, it's a scam. That's what it is. It's a goddamn fucking scam. And we just, as a nation, as a whole, you look at Topps Trading Cards. They offer NFTs. Marvel Comics. And I'm just bringing up collector stuff here. But I mean, I'm sure Kellogg's or fucking whatever. Everybody, because, you know, it's something's hot. Everybody jumps on it, right? Yeah. So we all offer NFTs or whatever as a way to make a few bucks. It's just, but it's bullshit. It's just, it's like a speculator market too. It's like, oh, well, this one's worth whatever. But okay. Why are you saying that? Because it's rare. Because you're the only person that could ever own this. And to what you just said, oh, wait, hold on. Because now it's online for being sold. I could screenshot that. I could fucking, save JPEG on my computer or whatever. Fucking right click on the goddamn thing. And there you go. You have it on your computer. So where's the real ownership in that? You know what I mean? Man. And actually, this even ties back to the sex tape.
Awesome.
Because once it's out there, right? Fucking anybody can make copies of it. Anybody can do whatever the fuck they want. You could put as many disclaimers as you wanted or TM copyrights and everything else and say, oh, this is mine. I fucking own this or, whatever the case may be. But guess what? You're really shit out of luck. So this is just another thing in the cycle of human existence that we just completely waste our times with. And we should really be punished for.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
The world's gone crazy. We're all stuck inside for all this time, and all anyone's been doing is existing online. So everything new is, the world has gone, we work from home, a lot of us. We fucking shop from home. We get food delivered to our house. We order everything from Amazon.
Yes.
We, the kids hang out on fucking playing Xbox, or PlayStation online, talk like that,
Sure.
It's just, we gradually have become more and more just stuck in the house. And like, it's so bizarre. It's like everything. It's cool that, that technology's progressed like this, but it's really making it hard to like, and the pandemic just like increased it so much. Like we were already headed in that direction. Like everything's so much easier online. But once the pandemic hit, it's just like, dude, now that's why people don't know how to fucking act in public anymore. When you see like, again, I hate getting all political, but like the school board meetings where people are flipping out and like going all this, like that's because fucking everyone's forgotten how to exist. Like on the internet, you can be an asshole, like be a keyboard warrior, like you're an internet warrior. You're as tough because you're anonymous. Nobody can see your face. But now we're going back in public and it's like that people are just stuck in that mode. So they're like, I don't have any of that civil, fucking social contract anymore. I'm just an asshole now.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You're the fucking lawnmower man, motherfucker. That's who you are. Welcome to being a lawnmower man because, it's a cyber world and we're just a pair of analog assholes. But you're right. We're, fucking, I don't even know, hot buns 387 used to just fucking type on their computer. Like, yeah, fucking, the school board. Okay. Well, you guys eat babies. And everybody's like, oh, this psychopath. Look at this fucking nut. Mute, whatever. And now this like, well, I got muted by everybody on Twitter, so I'm going to show up at that goddamn meeting.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking proclaim they eat babies.
now it's real. Now the news
and now, now you get shared on social media. You're regurgitated back out into the stream, into the system. You get 387,000 fucking likes and fucking you're an NFT. All righty, moving on now, you know, just to kind of speed things up a little bit, I suppose. Nate, you had a little thing to say about the boys from Jackass. Is that not correct?
Well, I was just noticing there's a new Jackass movie out after years, you know. It got me thinking a lot, and Jackass came out. It's uniquely of our generation, sure. I'll say that. In the late 90s, I remember living with my good friend Andy Jones, your friend and mine. Rest in peace. You know, died several years ago.
But right.
He was, you know, my first roommate after moving out of my folks' house. And at that apartment, he had on his wall, he was a skater, and he had on his wall, like, pages from Big Brother magazine.
Sure.
Which was, you know, a skateboard magazine. And he had the pictures of Johnny Knoxville testing out, like, tasers and pepper spray and all that, like, on his wall. And those were that was the beginning, the origins of Jackass. From there, they moved to, you know, MTV combined with CKY, which was Bam Margera and Ryan Dunn and all those folks. And they created Jackass back in the 90s. Now, Jackass, like, I should have appreciated it more. Like, my brother and I were always kind of daredevil-y. Like, my brother specifically, he would always push me to, yeah, jump off crazy trees into, you know, the water, build these death-defying rope swings, or, you know, just do stupid shit. And you know, we've gone skydiving. You know, he's done all of it, bungee jumping, skydiving. But at the time, I just wasn't really into Jackass because, dude, Jackass was kind of like too popular. You know, it was everywhere.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I follow you.
Yeah. And I would be like, I don't know. It was dubious because it was so popular. So I just kind of ignored it. I was like, yeah. You know, same thing happened with South Park. I'm just kind of like, I know it's there and I know it's good, but I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I just don't watch it really when it's out. But all these years later, because I've mentioned earlier that I kind of pay attention to the TMZ type shit. So you'd see like stuff about Steve-O from Jackass and stuff about Bam Margera over the years. And now they were both complete fuck ups, you know, and on a crazy scale, drug wise, just like out of control, always, you know, getting arrested and like wrecking shit and being completely out of control. And, I, as an addict, you know, I would watch their progression and, you know, cause my life spun out of control, and Steve-O eventually cleaned up and got really into recovery.
Right.
About, probably about 10 years ago. And yeah. And the dude's been doing amazing. And I would watch that and I'd have the same like attitude towards it that I had towards any celebrity that got clean, that was a famous drug addict that got clean, like a Dave Navarro from like Jane's Addiction and stuff. He was, you know, he got clean, and I would watch him talk about it on shows, and I'd feel like simultaneously like almost resentful towards him because I was still fucked up and I couldn't do it, but then it would make me feel hope because I'd be like, this dude was a rock star level addict, like fucked up on a lot of drugs, and they were able to do it.
Right.
So I guess there's some hope. But my point is, there was always that kind of resentment while I was still using. Because I was like, you know, fuck this, you know, like, you know, fuck him. Like, I'm still suffering and this sucks. And like, how did he even do it? And like, he probably went to some rich, you know, detox in Malibu and whatever. But Bam Margera, you know, gradually got worse and worse. Like, Steve-O got clean, and I don't know if you've read any of the stories, but it's like when this new Jackass movie came out, Bam Margera has gotten to the point where he wasn't even allowed to be in it because he was so fucked up. The guys in Jackass made him sign some shit that like you have to pass drug tests, you have to be on these meds, you know, all this stuff. And he violated it. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let him be in it. And he, of course, went on this crazy tirade. He does Instagram and all these videos where he's just like, dude, he sounded like a crazy person. He was like, you know, talking about how he's a wizard that can control weather and like, you know, all this weird shit. And like, but not even inadvertently, like threatening Jeff Tremaine, like the creator of Jack, like the main dude.
Yeah. I heard about that part. He went a little nutty.
Yeah, man. But I don't know. Like, I don't know how you felt about Jackass. You know, I don't know if you watched it back in the day or if you even give a shit.
You know? I am aware of the new film. I have not seen it because I'm not a big Jackass fan. When it first appeared, I liked it, but also I was a little resentful because some of their stunts and things that they did, I thought were very reminiscent of some of the gags that me and my friends would do without video cameras.
Exactly.
Now, at this time period, Tom Green was another big one. He kind of opened the floodgates of just being a fucking weirdo, taping everything. And people, just, that's comedy now. This is funny. I can understand why an older generation of people, you know, our parents probably shook their heads and was like, oh, no, here we go. You know, this cannot be good because these guys are pulling pranks and their hijinks are just fucking dangerous, unhealthy, you know, on and on. And So yeah, but again, with my youth, I was like, okay, you know, this is funny. This is ridiculous. Albeit I do feel like they're ripping me off. You know, now I don't really have as much of an interest in seeing someone trampled by an animal or it's almost like, you know, you'd see the Faces of Death videos when you were young and like, okay, well, this is shocking and bizarre and fucking cruel bum fights. things like that, you know what I mean? Now, I mean, I'd watch it, I'd feel bad, I'd feel upset. I'm like, why are these people that is fucking evil, you know? They're wrong.
I hear you. I mean, it's weird how that sort of entertainment, you're right, and it's become more just everywhere. It's proliferated, if you will. It's like, I remember America's Got Talent a few years ago. One of the people that moved pretty far up in the competition would just get his nuts kicked or like hit with a wooden board or whatever. And that was literally his whole shtick. Like every episode, it would be this like elaborate setup to him getting hit in the nuts with some weird, I don't know, almost Rube Goldberg machine or fucking whatever, some kind of way that the thing would hit him in the nuts. And I'm like, wasn't that in Idiocracy where they were like, you know, it was a satire on how society's headed and where these people were literally just watching shows, you know, ouch my nuts or whatever it was, like getting kicked in the nuts. And that's kind of where we're at. But dude, but for some reason I'm having the opposite effect. What, now that I'm older, I watched all the Jackass movies in the last few years. I happen to watch them, and I'm, for some reason, I'm finding them super entertaining now. And it's just kind of hit me in a weird way because of where I'm at, like finally feeling like I'm clean and like out of that fucking curse of addiction, and like, and watching Steve-O, who's gotten, now that I'm clean, I love watching Steve-O, and he's got these, you know, podcasts where he talks to people, and it's a great podcast. I mean, I kind of hinted earlier about Steve-O talking to Tommy Lee, and that's a cool episode, but he gets pretty fucking deep. And like, believe it or not, Steve-O's gotten really introspective, does these weird episodes about like stuff he's felt weird about, like showing like how bad his teeth used to be and like when they replaced his teeth and how bad, like shit that he said, you know, he would have been so embarrassed for anyone to know about that. But he's like, here it is. I'm not scared. This is me. I'm different now. You know, this is... Yeah. And it's kind of like helped me a lot. Like I see how Steve-O could really help people now. Whereas Bam, just like, I see the part of me that I used to be where he has all these friends that are finally on the other side of addiction, or at least got shit under control.
Yeah.
And they're trying to help him. And they're like, dude, like, you know, you need help. And he just keeps blaming them for all his shit and like talking about how they're treating him unfairly and how, you know, I mean, yeah, he's a member of Jackass. He has a right to feel snubbed not being allowed in it, but he signed a fucking contract and he's out of control. And he, you know, deep down he knows he's out of control. I'm sure. I mean, I don't know the guy, but dude, it's like, I see the two ways my life could have gone. I mean, obviously, you know, with differences, I'm not either of those two people, but you know, it's like, I ended up choosing the Steve-O path. Like,
good for you.
Yeah, man. You know? Vampath is looking kind of rough right now. But
well, it seems like he's defiant, right? He's maybe, and yet again, we don't have any inside insight on all this. This is pure speculation, but there's some people out there who just never want the party to end.
Yeah.
Right? And you got enablers. And, you know, you had mentioned when you see celebrities kick a habit, you know, is equal inspirational and infuriating. But you think about the circumstances of being a celebrity where you have unlimited resources to acquire drugs. Your income allows you, I was going to say enables again, look at me trying to stop duplicating my words. but you know, it allows you to just, hey, fuck it. I got the money. I can go buy as much shit as I want to pump into my body whenever I want. You know what I mean? And no one's going to tell me, no, I'm a fucking rock star or what have you. So.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But that whole thing with him, you're right. It's just an interesting, you know, situation.
Situation.
It's the pendulum is kind of, you know, swung in different directions for people who are involved in the same project in very different ways. It's unfortunate. I mean, I always, back in the day, found him, well, I'm talking about Bam here, to be entertaining to a point, but his whole thing was like, I beat up my dad. I have a crazy uncle, you know?
Yeah.
That whole thing, which I was always like, kind of weirded out by, because now I am a dad. Fuck that, man. I don't want my kid just coming up to me, pounding me in the head when I'm watching TV.
Yeah, he seemed like a brat, you know? He just seemed like spoiled all the time. Right. Yeah, very spoiled, kind of grew up rich. And like, I don't mean to pass judgment, but you're right. He does seem like that, like just kind of, and couldn't grow up. And now he's, just, you know, he's acting like, I hate to say it, but he's acting like a spoiled person, like blaming everyone else when he clearly has to fucking change, you know? But that's what it does to us. I was the same way. I'd blame anyone I could, and it's just part of addiction. Like it's hard and you hate yourself the whole time you're doing it. You know you're at fault. I used to tell people, I know what my problem is. So many people go to therapy and do all this shit to find out what their fucking problem is. I know what my problem is.
Yeah.
I just have to stop using the substance. And I mean, after you get clean, you realize, no, there's some underlying shit that you still have to deal with. And I do have to kind of figure shit out. But that was a major stumbling block. If Bam could just get that part of it, things would get better. Like Steve, watch some old videos of Steve-O. Anyone listening to this, go check out some YouTube videos of like Steve-O when he was messed up or whatever. It was crazy. Watch his appearance on, I believe it was Adam Carolla had a short show on like Comedy Central, and go look that up. You know, I'm not going to say any more about it, but go check that video out. And anyway, so
yes,
so Jackass is hitting me, you know, for some reason. I haven't seen the new one yet, but for some reason, now that I'm older, I feel this kinship with these dudes that back in the day I didn't really watch, and I don't know what it is. I think it's just getting old, and they're in a way kindred spirits, because we all did fucked up shit.
Yeah,
we, you know, and I don't know, but I will go see that movie. Yeah. I finally appreciate Jackass, my friend.
There you go. You have been jackassed.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. I mean, I see the appeal of it. I get it. And more props to him for, 20 plus years. You're still fucking, doing all this crazy shit. We've been talking a lot about this growth and changes and aging and everything else. And it seems like a theme to our show just in general.
Amen.
But I mean, just imagine like, I used to take staples in the ass back in the 90s on my TV show. And here you are 40 something years old. And now I'm sober and I still like getting a stapler in the ass. Speaks to someone's sanity. But
talk about underlying issues.
There you go. And now I want to shift gears a little bit because maybe you have an issue. And I'm not talking about you, Nate. I'm talking about the listeners out there. Mm. And the issue could lead to a problem. And what is that? Well, we did discuss Valentine's Day earlier, and possibly you fucked up. You did something bad. Maybe you didn't get those flowers. Well, you know what? There's always a chance for redemption, a second chance, if you will. And we have those for you with some products from our partners. First up, we got northlandvapor.com. I am a big vapor. I used to smoke, and smoking stinks. It's terrible, gross, gunky, icky. Ugh. Oh my. I can't even smell a cigarette now, Nate. I can't. Dude, it's just fucking nasty as hell.
I quit too, man. I hear you.
So if you are a smoker or if you know a smoker in your life, it's time to quit, man. We're just talking about becoming the lawnmower, man. We're going digital. All right. We're getting into the system. We're hacking into the matrix.
The mainframe.
Yeah, the mainframe. You don't need to be freaking smoking, hanging out with a Marlboro man anymore. Come on now. It's time to update your life, update your health. And go and choose Northland Vapor, because all of their e-liquids are diketone and artificial sweetener free, which is important because that's less gunk or less crap you're pumping into your body that you just don't need. But instead, you're putting some great flavors in there and living a much happier, healthier life. I mean, that's something that I can testify to. We also have alpinehemp.com, which is a CBD company. You know, natural way to relieve all of life's ailments. They got every product known to mankind under the sun. I mean, you name it, they've got something for it, whether it's in tablet form or capsules, rather. Tablet makes me sound like I'm a pharmacist back in 1942, slapping George Bailey in the ear because I got a letter from the war. Hopefully somebody out there gets that reference. If not, then I just wasted it on you. So sorry about that. But, yeah.
Look it up.
You see that? I apologize for something after I said it, Nate. That's what I did. But yeah, listen, CBD, it's here to stay. People know it works. It's great. It's a healthy alternative to taking some big pharma, taking their shit. I mean, I was just watching a show the other day about, what is it, the Sackler family and how they ruined America.
It's awful called, people.
Yeah, I know. So I think maybe many people out there are turning to the alternative and saying, I can just fucking pop some CBD, man. Oh, I remember what I was talking about. Ointments, capsules, tinctures, they got it all. You can find them at alpinehemp.com. Now, alpinehemp.com and northlandvapor.com. You can use code SELLINGOUT19 and save 19% off your entire order at both sites. So definitely worth checking out. If you are a Delta 8 fan, be sure to check out deathbygummybears.com and wonkyweeds, who are also associated with Alpine Hemp. Now, last but not least, I brought them up earlier, Spunk Lube. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys are ugly. You couldn't get laid in a whorehouse with a fistful of hundreds. You know who you are. I relate to you. You know what? Me too. So when you do finally find that person who's willing to lay down with you for a short period of time, hopefully more than 2 minutes, you know, maybe you can muster up some energy and get something done. Bring some Spunk Lube. Be a gentleman, will you? Don't fucking try going into that shit dry or thinking you get some kind of magical prowess that's going to make those fucking panties wet. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to your lover. But right now, if you go to spunklube.com, you can have some of their award-winning lubricant shipped discreetly right to your door. Now, this is a lube used by many professionals in the adult film industry, but why let them have all the fun? No. Go to spunklube.com today and tell them Selling Out sent you. And now, a segment we love and adore more than a $3 whore. We give you Nate's Nose.
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Nose.
My father is someone with whom I've always been able to talk music. I mentioned on my segment during the last episode that he has a really impressive collection of vinyl LPs that I still have yet to really dig through. I mean, I don't like ask him his opinion on the new Infant Annihilator album or grab him an extra ticket for the Cannibal Corpse tour, but he appreciates a lot of different music, and I appreciate that. At some point in my 20s or 30s, I observed that there had been a progression in what my dad listened to in the car as he drove. When I was little, and we would go down to the ocean during the summer, I can recall 60s and 70s rock playing as we drove with the windows down, from the Zombies and Cream to the Eagles and Creedence Clearwater Revival. As the years passed, I noticed the radio dial had moved in the family car, and the soundtrack became jazz. A few years later, it was classical music. Finally, at some point, it seemed he'd abandoned music in the car altogether and switched to talk radio. Political opinion shows. Radio went from soothing background noise to inflammatory, blood pressure-raising rhetoric. It's not like he stopped listening to music completely, but his idea of recreational media, the stuff he put on to entertain his brain in the car, had shifted as he grew older. We all change as we age. We learn to appreciate new things. We get tired of things. We mature. Whatever. As a kid, I went from alternative rock and grunge to industrial and goth to hip-hop, hardcore, electronica, and ambient music. Never mind all the stuff I've gotten into as an adult. We learn to see the value in different things as we change as people. I went through a lot of years not listening to music at all. I remember going to jail in my 20s and buying an AM/FM Walkman from the commissary. Now, my county is like a terrestrial radio wasteland. The closest you could get to an independent or alternative music channel was the shitty rock station, which might throw in a Pearl Jam song among all the AC/DC and Guns N' Roses singles. And it was always the same two or three Pearl Jam songs and the same two or three AC/DC and Guns N' Roses songs. The hip-hop station was even worse. You might hear the same song twice within the hour. And it was more R&B than hip-hop anyway. I managed to find a cool college radio station that I could kind of get to come in if I held the radio in the right place in my cell. And depending on what cell I was in and what part of the jail, sometimes it wouldn't come in at all. It was called WCHC, the Holy Cross College Station. And it provided me with a lot of relief, and I'll always love it for that. I'd also find myself listening to the jazz and classical stations a lot. But for the most part, my years of addiction kept me in a sort of stasis, where I wasn't checking out anything new. Of course, at some point, I got off the hamster wheel, and blessedly, I've found my interest in music rekindled. At one point, I found myself in this halfway house, and there was a kid who worked there with a mohawk. He was fresh out of college, and I was in my late 20s at the time. I remember trying to talk music with him, maybe trying to show this youngster that I had a little indie cred. And while he acknowledged the artist I mentioned as being respectable, it seemed they were all a bit passé to him. He was like, yeah, Mike Patton and Skinny Puppy and the Mars Volta are all cool, but I don't really listen to much of that old stuff. That kind of hit me in the feels, as the youngsters say. But honestly, at that point, I hadn't had my finger on the music pulse in close to a decade. The dude was cool, though. He burned me a bunch of CDs of stuff to check out, and I was able to re-enter the cultural stream, as it were. Naturally, the internet and all the available music apps have changed the world for me since then. I now find there's not even enough time to check out all the music I might like. There are countless bands in countless genres on countless platforms. It's awesome, if slightly overwhelming. Even my dad has upgraded to satellite radio, and he will usually be listening to some jam band or garage band station when I go for a drive with him. He still likes the classics, but he digs bands like Wilco and Uncle Tupelo, as well as newer stuff that he hears. I'm glad there's finally a way to find a cool station in our radio wasteland, and I'm glad he's gotten off the political talk radio, for the most part. Shit, I feel that same pull as I move deeper into my 40s. I'll usually be playing music on YouTube, or I'll throw on Spotify or Pandora, and suddenly I'll feel compelled to throw on some politically charged opinion piece that the YouTube algorithm has recommended to me, or some left-wing podcast that's just going to reaffirm my opinions and make me angry about the state of the world in the process. I can't help seeing myself doing the things that I noticed in my dad. Our politics are different, but the compulsion to get all fired up is the same. I don't drive much these days, but I do throw on stuff to listen to while I work or write or work out in the gym. And more I find myself choosing some political opinion show. People talk about putting on motivational workout music, but these political shows have a similar charging up effect. But I don't want to be that guy. I feel like anger is a drug of its own, and I need to watch that. Maybe it is age that does it. Maybe my genetics predispose me to enjoying frustrating world of news opinion shows. Maybe it's the current political climate. All I know is that I see it happening to myself, and I'm consciously trying to keep veering back to music. I mean, even if a song is politically charged, at least there's some beauty or artistry involved. There's nothing wrong with being politically conscious or even politically active. It's just starting to take over that part of my brain that looks to media for distraction. I'm a music lover. I always will be. As much as my old foginess tries to cloud that fact or distract me from it, I'm doing my best to remain vigilant.
Well, let me tell you something there, pal. I am very similar, actually. Well, I don't listen to political discourse or podcasts, but I like sports talk radio. And now I found that I'm less apt to just say to my device on the counter to play a track as I am to say play whatever, you know, talk station or whatever. I just kind of want to get lost in, because you don't really need to pay attention either. Always. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, a lot of times I might just take a shower. I'm like, play this sports station, and it's just on to keep me company while I, you know, lather me nuts.
Kind of drift in and out of it.
Like, yeah, I can, you know, and there's sometimes I might hear a sentiment where I go, hell yeah. And other times I like shows that make me laugh. I like things that humor me, that kind of thing. And then just the other day, though, to be honest, I did play a song because I was thinking of my mom, who had passed away a couple years ago, and her favorite artist was Stevie Nicks. So I said, play this song by Stevie Nicks, and it did, and it brought me back to a moment in my life and made me think of someone I love. And then that was over, and I said, hey, now some more talk. I've been listening to a little bit more NPR lately, just kind of, you know, stir it up a little bit. But, you know, it's funny. Actually, why do we even say it's funny? Because it's not funny at all. It's interesting. Let's go. Okay. Let's go that route, that, you know, your dad is on one side of the political spectrum. You are on the other. Mm-hmm. And you're both kind of guilty of the same things by choosing something to live in your own bubble. But are there many programs out there that would fairly and accurately kind of portray both sides? And are we at the point, this, you know, 2022, where that even exists anymore, because things have gone so radically left and right?
Yeah. You know, I don't even know if that's possible anymore. But that's a topic, too. That's a whole other episode that we could get into.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, you're right. And that's my point, is that, like, whatever it is, like, one thing is skewed, the political affiliation or whatever. I mean, I hate being tribal at all, like that whole tribalism, like my side, your side.
Yep.
But it's kind of become that way. And you really do. I mean, I don't know how much of it is me, what I really believe to my core, or how much of it has been skewed by what I watch. But I feel like all the things I feel are my own. I don't feel like I've been hypnotized by left-wing media, but, you know, but the people on the right don't feel that way either. And, like, I don't know. But again, that's a huge topic.
Yeah.
The point was more about replacing the music, like finding myself drawn. And it's not even drawn to, I convince myself that I'm being drawn towards information, like what's happening. I need to know this stuff. But I think it's more the anger part in my brain, which was never a thing. I've never been an angry person, really. But, like, I feel it well up in me when I start, like, watching this shit or listening to this shit. So I think that it's more that. It's more my addictive part of my brain finding comfort listening to some shit like that. And like, even though it's an uncomfortable feeling, it's like addiction is weird, you know?
Yeah.
You get comfortable in uncomfortable shit. So like, I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to watch it. I stay in my band. I'm playing a couple shows finally. I haven't played shows in a while. I have a couple coming up. And yeah, so I've been practicing my bass. I've been trying to listen to more music. And I'm honestly trying to like limit all the political shit. Like even my therapist is like, yeah, if it's making you unhappy,
yeah,
check it, you know, check it, like put a lid on it if you can.
So sure.
Doing what I can. Sports, like you talked about, it's like, it's similar. You get hooked on it. It replaces music in your life, like we were talking about. But I don't know. I mean, there's tribalism in sports too, obviously.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's just, you know, one of those things where you don't have to take it too seriously. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's entertainment.
Right. Not life or death. Like these, you know, I feel this way because people's rights are being,
No.
It's more just, yeah. Hey, I like this guy that plays this game, you know, like this team.
Or he stinks, you know, that kind of thing, or just discussing that kind of stuff. I've always liked sports talk radio now for, geez, it seems like forever, as an alternative just to occupy my time. There are some podcasts by, fellow podcasters and friends I will listen to.
Of course.
And as far as you though, I don't think you're at an unhealthy ratio, at least not by what you message me, because you're always sending me songs and videos to watch that are music. You don't ever send me, oh, you get to watch this bit about this political whatever. It's always, check out this band. So, sure. I mean, I'm not with you 24/7. I don't know. Maybe you are, you know, seething for the majority of the day. I don't know, but I wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just once in a while it hits me, you know.
Like, yeah, well, that's understandable, you know. And that's the thing too, when you age, I don't know. It's like I would never have guessed that I would turn into the 40 some odd year old man who enjoys listening to sports talk radio over an Alice in Chains record. It's just that I now have moments in my life where I might need to listen to Dirt by Alice in Chains, but they're few and far between compared to just easily putting on something where people are going to talk the breeze about something that's not, you know, again, yeah, earth shattering or super important, just something that entertains me.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's all escapism.
Yes. Thank you. You bright eyed, beautiful bastard. Escapism. Yes.
Yeah. And the politics stuff isn't helping me escape. I'm just getting sucked further and further into it. So I need more escape. That's what the music's for. So
you start to think too, like, oh, it's never been like this in American history, right? This is going to be the worst. And in many ways, it probably is, for what we were discussing earlier, as far as the regurgitation, or we've said many a time that, people now they choose their education via memes rather than an actual textbook or looking at the path history has taken. But I mean, realistically, it's all different forms of the same shit. If you went back to the 60s or, whatever era, you should so decide to kind of research a little bit where people really, it was polarizing stuff and always has been.
Oh, yeah. We didn't start the fire, Dave.
No, we did not, Billy Joel. We did not.
My mother just brought that up. We had the same conversation earlier. I was talking to my mother and she said, yeah, it's like, yeah, things seem really out of control now. And they do. But yeah, when she was growing up, Vietnam War was happening. People were protesting, bombs were going off, and, you know, all this shit, and people were being drafted, and, like, it seems like it was the end of shit then, you know, it seemed like, how are we gonna mend this? And so, you know, we didn't start the fire. She brought that up. She's like, that's what that song is about. It's like going through all this shit that happened, and it's like, we didn't start it. It was always burning. Like, there's always been crazy shit going on. It made me kind of take a second, you know, look at that song now that I'm old enough to understand it. And like, it's funny because that was my first concert, was going to see Billy Joel on that tour that song came out.
Wow. Look at that. Huh?
Wow. All he ties in.
Yeah, sure does. Everything is time's a circle. Time's a flat circle, man.
That's right. That was Rustin Cole.
Yeah, the True Detective thing. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, I don't know though. I wonder how can you mend it? How can you... you know, you are in the very precarious position where your father and you have completely different political views. And I know you said it's a conversation for another day. I get that. Maybe we can get dive, you know, or delve, whatever. See, I'm smart into it. more in the future, but I mean, to coexist with somebody in your family, we've heard stories.
At least we don't live together.
Well, that's the thing, right? But they can't even have Thanksgiving together anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're so heated in arguments because they've chosen a side, and there is debate is dead. It doesn't exist anymore. There is no healthy form of, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. We dig our feet in. Mm-hmm. The line is drawn in the sand not to be crossed.
Right.
No matter what. You know, we don't listen anymore. We don't fucking empathize anymore. It's just, it's over. It's done. Right. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's what makes this worse than before. I don't know.
We should solve this in the last moments of this podcast.
Yeah, we really should.
Solve this problem.
And suddenly, podcast over.
I want to add, though, that when I talk about like replacing music with talk stuff,
sure.
Don't hesitate to listen to our show.
Well, yeah.
Instead of music, by all means, listen to our show.
It's funny you should say that. See, I did it. Fuck.
It's funny. It's pretty funny.
I deserve a slap. Somebody hit me.
It's okay. It's all funny. You live a very comedic life.
Oh, boy, do I ever. But I was going to say that, you know, if you have a reason why you enjoy our podcast, our online radio thingy-majiggy here, you should let us know.
Our inflammatory rhetoric.
Yes, all of that. If we're taking you away, we're your escapism, I would like to hear about it. And it's easy to do if you ever want to shoot us an email, or rather send us an email. I don't know. Can you put it in like a t-shirt cannon and send it? sellingoutshow@gmail.com or the socials at sellingoutshow, Facebook at sellingoutshow one. Uno. Right. Number one. But I'm curious. I just said, I like to listen to things when I'm in the shower. So it's very intimate. It's very, you know, one-on-one I'm having with the sounds coming out of my
shower. With them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. They're in there with me. They're scrubbing my back with a loofah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, baby. Oh,
I'll hold
yeah.
the loofah.
You'll hold the loofah.
Listen to us in the shower. I will hold the loofah.
He will. It's a guarantee. If you contact us and let us know why you like the show, where you listen to the show, Nate will arrive at your domicile ready to wash your back.
And I will ruin it for all of the next guys that want to hold the loofah.
Yeah, once Nate washes your back, there ain't no going back. No, my friend. That is it.
Us in black.
Black. So, I think we've said what we needed to say today. You got anything else you want to throw in there before we hit zeroed?
Oh, no, man. If I keep talking, I'll just never shut up.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Somebody stop me.
That's an issue. Well, that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm doing you a favor. I'm putting this
Thank
to
you.
A halt.
Save me from myself.
Yes, there you go. This is a cease letter. And desist.
Desist.
We're going to desist you. Actually, Nate could do that if you have a cyst. He'll show up and desist you.
I'll pop the cyst. I'll there lance it.
All right. Well, I do want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to us today. Virtual hugs for all of you. It's truly appreciated beyond words that come out of my face hole. I am Dave. That is Nate. And this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace. Wake up to the devil.